Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green, Rob Santa Python Mish, here to discuss UNLV 73, Southern Utah 60 tonight at the Thomas and Mack Center. A little bit different atmosphere compared to Saturday afternoon.
It's one that did not demand the python boots. Let's clarify that right from
the
start.
And the python boots stayed in the box.
Same thing with the pachyderms. You know, I was going to whip out the elephants tonight, and I thought, you know, Southern Utah, I'm not even going to do that. So tonight was a hush puppy night.
You just went old school.
Quiet, calm, but it was anything but a calm game.
See, now me, I stayed consistent. I went with the brown and black plaid Vans. That's just how we rolled it in that game day.
You're like a thief. No one knows you're coming or going.
Exactly. And you know what? You know who else kind of fits that bill so far this year?
Go ahead.
Rene Rougeau tonight, kind of leading the way, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 assists. It seems like every game this season so far, we've had like 8 different stats of his to rattle off. And we were just kind of discussing his name as far as talking about team MVP to this point in this season. And we can delve back into that here in a little bit, because that is something we will hit on, because there was plenty more to talk about from tonight's game specifically. And it all starts with number one, Wink Adams, going down midway through the first half with what was diagnosed at the time, an abdominal strain muscle. Boy, that was painful to watch.
It was for anybody over 40 like myself. I've already been thinking this way a few times. I think the playing career is over. I've had too many buddies rupture an Achilles tendon, tear a knee ligament, just doing a stupid little mundane move.
Oh, I've had it happen too. I've seen it.
And all Wink did is twist in the lane. He was backing, not even backing. He was sliding from the left side of the lane into the lane. He was about to twist back to his right, and that little movement, he said, he heard a pop. And next thing you know, he was in the most utter pain of his life. And I think the one person in the world who is most relieved right now that he's able to walk and talk and he wasn't taken directly to the hospital is Mama Wink back in Houston. He called her right afterward and relieved her. She can sleep well. No doubt she was watching on DirecTV. And, you know, that was a real big deal. And hopefully he can – he said he hopes to play at Louisville and, you know – hopefully that is the case.
And the schedule lays out nicely
sure
yet
does.
Again for the Rebels. They have 8 days before they will travel to the Bluegrass State to play that game. And, you know, boy, that injury, you're right, no contact on it. He said he felt a pop, he fell to the ground, and, boy, they were helping him off the court, and it was just painful to watch that. You know, he had his arms around a couple support staff guys, and they were kind of dragging him off almost by his feet because he couldn't straighten his body at all. That was nasty looking.
It was not just an initial shock either. You know, when you get hit or you take a knee in a certain part of the groin, which we won't mention, you know, usually you can take a couple deep breaths and 15, 20 seconds later, you can regain your composure. But he was down, and I mean 2 minutes afterward, he was still wincing and grunting and oh, my God, Rocky Rutledge, the equipment manager, was there to help him off. He had his right shoulder. Dave Tomchuk, the trainer, had his left shoulder. And nearly as soon as they had him standing up, he just about barreled over again on his right side. And they had all to do to get him off. Thank God they didn't need a stretcher or worse. That would have really been
devastating. He's a big boy. That couldn't have been a comfortable walk back up to the for those two.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to my initial statement about a guy like people like myself over 40, you know, wanting to that'll make him maybe think thrice about playing the game or doing anything foolish. Here is a guy, I mean, he is, at the peak of his physical abilities. He is in such incredible great shape, and yet something like that can, you know, topple him and just make him look so mortal. It makes us far less than mortals want to think about what we're doing.
I'm not planning on doing any ab exercises over Christmas, if that's what you're implying.
I'm not looking at you.
He only played 10 minutes tonight, scoreless for the first time in his Rebel career, and I'm sure there will not be an asterisk by that one, blaming an injury for it. It is what it is. But in his place, the big producer, Kendall Wallace, the sophomore off the bench, 5 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 5 from three-point range. Second half had a nice teardrop baseline jumper on a turnaround, had an up a layup while getting fouled that he kind of just flipped over his head on a on a wing and a prayer, and that dropped in. Missed the free throw, but 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal in there. He had a nice night all around. Usually we're, you know, when we're talking about him having a nice game, we're saying, you know, he came in and hit some big threes off the bench. He did a little more than that tonight.
There was 3 distinct moments in this game where you didn't even have to watch the game. You could have your eyes closed, and by the reaction of the crowd, you knew something was going on. Bad, good, indifferent. Good, bad, ugly. Ooh! No, I didn't mean to do that. But
you just wanted to do it one more time.
I know.
Time.
I had to
one
squeeze it
time.
In there. But last time in for this year. The Wink Adams injury was a hush over the crowd. It was palpable. Another one was when good old Deshaun Mitchell gets in there and misses a two-handed dunk, which we will get to. But the third distinct moment that the crowd really played off was what the heck did Kendall pull out of his rear pocket with the it was a circus scoop and a spin, and it went in the bucket from the right side. And oh my God, I don't think people really realized what they saw or who was doing it, but he has been practicing incredibly lately. He's been shooting before practice, after practice. We noted that after practice he stayed yesterday, and at one stretch he hit 17 and 19 threes. He was just looking great. That carried over to today. He's playing with confidence, and he was a big part of some really good bench efforts lately. They have outscored UNLV's bench has outscored their opponent's bench 61-10 in their past 2 games. And Joe Darger at practice the other day told me that a real big thing that's starting to form with this team is other teams can't really scout one player or 2 players. You know, It's really difficult to take a couple guys out and keep the Rebels down, because we've seen this already that you don't really know who's going to really lead them in scoring and who's going to have that breakout game. And, you know, that's going to work, and that's a big asset for the Rebels.
And just look at the last 2 games alone. I mean, Trevon Willis had the 19 points on Saturday and was huge off the bench. And then tonight it's Kendall Wallace, who had a couple big moments in the first half against Arizona, then was kind of non-existent the rest of the day. You're right. There's a, you know, things, the tides change for this team more than your average team, like, you know, say in Arizona, who they saw on Saturday, where there's 2 players you're going to scout, and you got to try to keep everybody else quiet.
And it's a funky team. It's flexible. It's
interchangeable.
It is really bizarre how they have so many moving parts. And one of the wild things that I saw last season that you're getting used to is the fact that this team is almost better with a smaller lineup. Mm-hmm. Santee can get in foul trouble. Masamba gets into foul trouble. There's Darger back at center, and they're efficient. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of the team is keeping the other guys on their heels.
Adjust to just about any situation. Well, let's hear from Kendall Wallace, Wink Adams, Lon Kruger from the post game following tonight's game. Guys, take it away.
I think everyone gets a little more aggressive offensively, and you know we have to pick up the scoring. So it's not just going to come from Wink where we just stand around and watch Wink go to work, but I think everyone's a little more aggressive. I think with another guy out, you're going to have a little longer leash. That can be a good thing, and it can be a bad thing at the same time. So hopefully it's going to be a good thing, and we're going to keep playing well. I think, you know, it gives me a little more confidence when I'm doing a lot of other things on the floor, and they can't just focus on me just shooting the ball. So I'm able to do a lot more when they're when they focus on me shooting the ball. I'm able to drive, be able to find open people. It's definitely going to help my confidence, and hopefully, coach will have a little more confidence in me. I think it's a good thing for me, and I'm building some momentum.
Just sharp pains right now when I walk, and you know, it's wrapped up right now, so I got pressure on it. But you know, they told me, you know, overnight it might swell up, so just see what happens tomorrow. Yeah, I think it's, you know, my lower abdomen, and you know, just when I did the spin move, you know, I just kind of stepped wrong and just heard something popping. You know, just pain was everywhere. You know, I just really couldn't do nothing; just hit the ground.
A ball game had a little different flow to it. Southern Utah did a really good job of containing, controlling the pace. They had long possessions, did a good job, did what they had to do. And I thought guys did a good job of kind of staying patient there early and taking a, 14-point lead to halftime. And then never really, you know, got much going after that. Kind of played with that the rest of the way. But, again, a lot of guys stepped in. Renee, again, had a terrific game. A lot of other guys stepped in. Of course, with Wink going out there early, we'll find out more about him tomorrow and see what the prognosis is on that. Anytime you take kind of a go-to guy, a leading scorer off of any club, it's going to change not only the, you know, not having him in there, but then it's going to change the depth, it's going to change the rotation. I thought, again, Kendall Wallace came in tonight, really took advantage of some opportunities there, made some shots, big plays, and did a good job.
All right. Well, now UNLV heads into this 8-day break. They're going to get Wednesday and Thursday off. They'll be back Friday evening to practice. And then they've got a few more days to get ready for a pretty big challenge on the road at Louisville New Year's Eve, 6 p.m. out there, 3 p.m. back here in Vegas.
ESPN 2 is
yeah,
doing it.
This is a big deal. This is a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal. I think everything's kind of been flowing into, like funneling into that New Year's game as far as a good capper on the start of the season and see where they stand. Obviously, Arizona was a very big benchmark. Maybe Arizona wasn't as good as it was built up after it upset Gonzaga, but maybe that can't be called an upset. Look mm-hmm. what Gonzaga did tonight, mm-hmm. losing to Portland State. Look what Arizona did in beating Kansas. Mm-hmm.
It's December basketball at its finest.
It is. There's going to be ebbs and flows and funky games. You know, I don't think Louisville is all that. You know, they're a top 15 team, at least on paper, and I don't know how accurate that is. But it's going to be a great crowd. It's going to be their most raucous environment, more than Reno, maybe times two. Mm-hmm. So if Wink is healthy, they'll be able to go in with all weapons.
Well, they're going to know more again after an MRI Wednesday about Wink, but you know, it's been one of those seasons like we were talking about a little earlier. And just about anything can happen, it seems like. But I guess to that end, you can't really discount what Rene Rougeau has done. And we were talking about him a little bit earlier in the show. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 assists, a steal. He does a little bit of everything. Did it again tonight. Scored a lot of points early on when UNLV was trying to find its offensive footing, much like he did Saturday for him. This guy right now, I mean, I don't see how you can not call him this team's most valuable player at this point in the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, we could almost look at every game he plays and go, wow, look at he's such a presence all over the court. Get used to it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's dynamic and no less a judger of talent than Jerry Tarkanian called him Stacey Augmon II the other day when I was talking with him. So, that's the thing that doesn't show up here. Yeah, blocks show up on defense. That's a highlighter of what you're doing and your action and all that. But what doesn't show up is just hand in the face, and he's just such a stickler. His shot is coming down. He's 39 for 61 over his last 6 games. That's stuff that opens the eyes of NBA scouts.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that sticks you around in the pros for 12, 14 years. Mm-hmm.
And boy, I mean, you saw him when he first got here. I didn't, but just it sounds like from where he's come from then.
I thought, what the heck are they doing going to recruit in Paris? Rene Rougeau. No, what a great poster boy for a program. He didn't even start his senior year in high school. If you look at his numbers, there's nothing impressive. Kruger saw something, and wow, what a blossom he is. And you know what, he's even a better person. He is one of the nicest guys in the world. And to even top off this performance tonight, in the past few days he has been battling I would call it a very serious throat a cold or whatever what have you. He barely could talk at practice yesterday. He was going through lozenge after lozenge.
He said he was just leaving after tonight and just going straight to bed.
Yeah. Look at what that effort on a banged up player, and you know, we're starting to see some banged up players. You know, obviously Wink went down. The infirmary list is getting a little longer with his addition to it. But Trayvon Willis told me at practice yesterday that right shoulder is not getting better anytime soon. He'll be getting a cortisone injection in the next couple weeks. It'll be a second one of the season. And he's going to be pondering shoulder surgery possibly after the season. He hopes it doesn't. Hopefully it heals. But it has stuck with him since his sophomore year in high school when he separated it. It's never healed properly. So he bangs it into players, and it gets slightly separated here, slightly separated there, and it just isn't allowed the time he needs to heal it.
Poor Trevon. He could use these 2 days too then.
He could, and he will.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, what are you going to do with these next 2 days?
I'm going to head down to Orange County in the morning. Beautiful Orange County, land of smog, freeways, cars, rude people, arrogance, actors.
Boy, you can't wait to move back.
Oh, huh? I love L.A. I'll be back here on the first train back. Is that bullet train in yet?
Well, any final comments about anything before we get out of here for the holidays?
Oh, plenty of comments. You kidding me? How about Oscar Belfield?
Mm-hmm.
We really need to talk about him because that guy has given out 15 assists and had only 2 turnovers in his last 2 games. He is he's coming into his own as a genuine threat at the point so early in his career. You can tell us a little bit more about Oscar. We can give a little preview. You got a little thing coming up on Mr. O.
We've been looking at it. You know, tonight's a perfect example of it. Mm-hmm. You know, a sluggish early offensive game. He steps up on a couple. You know, we don't need to be shy about it here. Those first 6-7 possessions they had on offense. Talk about guys just kind of standing around, not really moving around without the ball. It was real stale. And you know, he crossed a couple guys over, hit some early shots, hit a high runner off the glass, hit a crossover three. And this is a guy who's really just displaying some swagger all over the place. And you know, a lot of this it's looking at, you know, talking to him and talking to some other folks. A lot of this comes from the high school program he comes from, and you know, as Kruger's getting to the point where he's getting kids from these, you know, here at UNLV from these bigger programs, you know, these are the kind of kids you're going to get, kids that are very ready to come in and produce right away. And Oscar Belfield, certainly one of them, played at Westchester out in L.A., and a program that he said when he transferred there in his junior year really instilled a lot of, basically told him, you have to be confident in everything you do. You can't back away from anything or you're probably never going to play. He stepped up to the challenge and look where it's gotten him, and he's got a stranglehold on that starting point guard job right now.
Yeah, he sure does. He doesn't look like a freshman at all.
No, that's his job right now. Yep. And you know, the other, I guess another final thing to hit on, the big men tonight. Kind of not really, I don't know. They just really weren't there much.
No, you know, and it's kind of perplexing. You know, we come into this season, they obviously played small ball last season. We come into this year with Darius Santee, who has a national JC title ring to his resume. He's very capable. He's maybe not a center at 6'8", but he's a low post presence and powerful and knows how to get it done. His JC coach at Midland College raves about him. Bryce Masamba, 6'10", 255, the truck. He's got some nice moves, good power moves, yet there they are on the bench, and there's Darger running, you know, with the small ball again today. It's almost more efficient for him.
Well, they're going to have to get it ready. They're going to have to bring something different in about 8 days because you talk about a three-headed monster in the post with, or at least in the front court with Terrence Williams, Samardo Samuels, Earl Clark, a big, long, athletic team. Their top three scorers and rebounders, I mean, are those three guys. This is a front court heavy team they're getting ready to face.
Do you almost say it's like a Jordan Hill times three?
I'd say Jordan Hill times 2.5.
All right.
Because you know, Samuels is more of the Jordan Hill type. He's the highly heralded freshman who's had the impact right away. You know, Earl Clark's a little more of a, I guess, you know, he's got a little more Chase Budinger in him, but he's got a lot of Jordan Hill in him. Kind of tipping towards the Jordan Hill side, but he's very versatile. He can get outside. And Terrence Williams, 6'6", plays inside and out, probably their best all-around player, their best all-around basketball player. In other words, they're going to – I mean, those guys, all three of them are going to have to – Masamba, you know, Santee, and I'm sure Darger's going to have to flex down and play some post again in that game. They're going to have to be ready to go.
Rougeau on the 6'6", kid.
Rougeau on Williams.
That'll be a great matchup.
Yeah.
If that's what comes to fruition.
You would think so.
You would, but UNLV is so adept at switching almost at all positions. That's what they did really, really well last season. And what was really confusing to other teams, and as we saw for a second straight season, confused the heck out of Arizona. So we'll see how they handle that stage on the bright lights, New Year's Eve, and that should be fantastic.
Yes, it should be. And that's when we will wind up talking to you next here on the Rebel Room. Rob, happy holidays.
You too.
Good solid ending to the show. For Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you on New Year's Eve. Take care. Bye-bye.